Good morning, Rabbi Schoolfuss, coming at you live from the Babish Yeshiva here in Cincinnati, Ohio. They have a 9:30 Shachris minyan during Ben Hazmanim, and we got here late for a late minyan, and we apologize for starting late. Our apologies, and now that that's been said, let's get on with it. You know, I had a hearing yesterday, and I slept a little bit late. The hearing was 10 o'clock in the morning, and I had a choppy night's sleep, and I got up late, and don't ask any questions. I was up very late, and I booked. Long story short, I wake up at 10:04, but it's a phone conference, and I get on the phone, and the judge says, Mr. Plotsky, are you aware that this hearing began at 10 o'clock? And I gave her a one-word answer. Yes, that's the answer I gave her. She asked me a question. Were you aware that we started at 10? Answer, yes, I was aware that you started. Yes, it was the one-word answer, but I didn't apologize. Maybe I should have. At all events, I'm apologizing to you. So let's get started. Tainus is introduction to Talmud 101, and we are in Tainus, and we are on 3A. And with God's help, please open that door. I'm going to pass out from my asphyxiation over here. I'm in one of the classrooms here in the Babish Yeshiva High School here in Cincinnati. Thank you, Mendel. We just finished Shachris, and now we're going to give ourselves a Talmud class. Very quick review of what we did on Monday. I'll read it in English, and then we're going to see all new material, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I guarantee if you just kind of get through the first 5 or 10 minutes of the give and take, then the second half of the class is going to be enjoyable and very agadita, very midrashic. So hang in there, first a little halacha, and then a little agadah. You remember that the Talmud quoted a brisa back on Monday, and here's what it said. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua, the one who goes before the Aron Kodesh, before the Ark, to lead the prayer services on the last day of the holiday, which means Shmini Atzeres, that's the last day of, you know, that holiday season of Sukkot and then Shmini Atzeres. So the one who goes before the Ark to lead the prayer services on Shmini Atzeres, the latter one, which is the one who leads the Musaf service, Maskir, he mentions Mashiruach, declaration, the forward declaration. He makes the wind blow, he makes the rain fall. Okay, so according to Rabbi Yehuda and the name of Rabbi Yeshua, if you're davening, if you're leading a Musaf service, which means a terrace, you mention Mashiv Haruach. But the first one, meaning the one who leads the Shachar service, he does not mention that a declaration, Mashiv Haruach. Now, on the first day of Pesach, the first one who leads the Shachris, the Shachris guy, he's going to pray, he's going to mention the powers of rain, he's going to mention Mashiv Haruach, okay? Ha'achron Einu Maskir, but the latter one, but the one leading the services on Musaf, he does not, because we don't want any rain anymore after Pesach is concluded. Actually, the first day. The first day of Pesach, we don't want rain anymore. That was the rainy season. That was then. This is now. Now Pesach is starting. All we want is D-E-W, you know, Tal. We would like the little light rain that falls early, early in the morning that Hashem sends down. That's what we want for the summer season. We don't want strong, gusty wind. That ruling was reported by Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua. Now we're going to try to reconcile that teaching, along with a previous teaching, which also seems to have been in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua. Is it possible to reconcile them? Because they're not going to sound reconcilable. Here's the attack question. That was the statement of law that I just gave you, and now here's the attack question. Which version of Rabbi Yehoshua's opinion does this conform with? If you're going to say the version of Rabbi Yehoshua's opinion quoted in our Mishnah. Okay, what did it say in our Mishnah? What did it say? Rabbi Yehoshua says that when do you start saying Mashiv Haruach? On the last Yom Tov of the festival, on Shmini Atzeres. That's our Mishnah. If you're going to say that the version of Rabbi Yeshua's opinion quoted in our Mishnah is supposed to conform with what I just read to you a moment ago, so then that position is not tenable. Because in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehoshua said, that one makes mention of rain on the last day, on the last Yom Tov of the festival, and the implication is Shacharis, okay? And that's not life. That's not in conformity with the ruling reported here in the name of Rabbi Yeshua, okay? That rain is not mentioned until Musaf. One, the implication is that you say it on Shacharis, on Shmini Atzeres. But according to this Brisa, no, you don't say it on Shacharis. You say it most of the time. So that's going to be irreconcilable on its face. Okay? So therefore, it has to conform with the version of Rabbi Yeshua's opinion recorded in the Brisa. But that proposal is also not workable because in the Brisa, Rabbi Yeshua said that we begin, and where's that Brisa? It's a long Brisa, and this is part of it. We opened up the class with a snippet of this long Brisa. We saw this long Brisa beginning on page 2b on the previous Amr. So what does it say over there? It says Rabbi Yeshua said that we begin to make mention of rain from when the lulav is put down on the seventh day. Okay? And the implication there is what? When you put down the lulav at Esrog on the seventh day, what do you surmise from that? Well, you surmise that it's the last day of Sukkot, and you use lulav and esrog in the hollow. Very good. And you use it for hakafas. Very good. Is there any hakafas on the seventh day? You already did Hoshana Rabbah the day before. So the Chor, maybe there's no hakafas. But maybe you said you use the lulav and esrog maybe for an hollow, and then you put it down and you pack it up. You know, as people do on the seventh day, they pack it nicely. They wrap the esrog in the payas, in the flax, and they put in a box, and they put the lulav into their tinfoil holder, and they put it away. So then when do you think the first time you can start saying the prayer for rain would be? Well, you would think Maariv time, you know, like 10 hours later, when you daven Maariv, and that begins the holiday of Shmini Atzeres, you would think that that's when you should start saying Ma'ashiv Aruach, right? Because that's the beginning of Shmini Atzeres. You've put away lulav and esrog. Now we're in a whole new holiday called Shmini Atzeres. So begin saying Ma'ashiv Aruach at night, at Maariv time. Well, that's not really what's going on over here. That's not going to be, even though you would think that, that's not reconcilable with what we're hearing over here in the Brisa, which says that what? That you start saying it at Musaf on the eighth day. So which is it? Maariv at night is not equal to Musaf the next day. It's two different things. So it's another irreconcilable, statement by this Rabbi Yeshua. How are we going to make sense out of this man? That conflicts this whole idea that he says you're supposed to start saying rain from the time you put the lulav down on the seventh day. But that conflicts with the ruling side of Rabbi Yehuda that rain is not mentioned until the eighth night. So which is it? Is he start saying it at night, the night that begins the holiday of Shmini Atzeres, or do you wait until Musaf? It seems like Rabbi Yeshua is saying two different things. And the door opens, please. Got to be able to breathe in here. Okay, that's where we left off on Monday. Let's begin now the continuation. The Sioux and furthermore, Had Tanya. That which we learned in the Brisa, what did we learn in the Brisa? Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Ben Bethera. We haven't seen this Brisa yet. This is all new. This is a whole new Brisa. Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Ben Bethera, Ha'over Lefnei Ateva B'Yom Tov Acharon Shochag, the one who goes before the Aron Kodesh to lead the prayers on the last day of Yantif, which of course is Shmini Atzeres, Ha'acharon Maskir, the latter one who leads the Musaf service. He mentions Ma'ashiv Aruach. He's the one who says Ma'ashiv Aruach, but the one who leads the chakra service does not say Ma'ashiv Aruach. So I have an opinion over here in the Rav Yudah said the name of Ben Becerra, that the one who goes before the ark on Shmini Atzeres, the Musaf guy, he mentions the powers of rain. So the problem appears to be that over here, it's quote, Rabbi Yehuda quotes it in the name of a man named Ben Becerra. But when we opened up today's class, He was quoting that same teaching in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua. So who is the author of this teaching that on the last day of the holiday, Shmini Atzeres, the Baal Musaf, the one who leads the Musaf service, begins the prayer of Mashiach Baruch? Who is the author of that teaching? Is it a man named Ben Beseira, or is it a man named Rabbi Yehoshua? It's a fair question. And here's the question. Hey, Ben Beseira, which Ben Beseira is quoted here by Rabbi Yehuda? Because all we know is that this ruling is quoted as Ben Beseira. Maybe Beseira had more than one child. I don't know. I mean, remember that we also are familiar with the teaching of a Rabbi Yehuda. You see, I got to confess, I asked the question a moment ago, and I think it's also a legitimate question, the way I asked it. I asked it this way. Is it Rabbi Yeshua teaching this teaching, or is it a man named Ben Beseira teaching the teaching? You know what? I think that's a legitimate question also. But that's not going to be the Talmud's question. The Talmud's question is, we are aware of a Rabbi Yehuda Ben Beseira. That's the only Ben Beseira we know about at the moment. And what did he teach? Let's see. Hey, Ben Beseira. Which Ben Beseira is quoted here by Rabbi Yehuda? Elam or Rabbi Yehuda Ben Beseira. If you want to argue, if you want to contend that it is Rabbi Yehuda Ben Beseira, that's not going to work out very well. Because why? Because our Rabbi Yehuda Ben Beseira famously said that you begin saying Mashiach Baruch on day 2 of Sukkot, not on day 8, which is Shmini Atzeres. So that's not going to be doable. I mean, that is really going to be a problem. How could you possibly equate Rabbi Yehuda Ben Beseira, who says you start saying the prayer on the second day of the holiday, with an unknown Ben Beseira, who says you should start saying it on the eighth day of the holiday? Which one is it? So that's a good attack question. And the answer is, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, he says, Tehei b'Rabbi Yehoshua Ben Beseira. Let us say that a man by the name of Rabbi Yehoshua Ben Beseira, we've never heard of that man before, will say that he is the author of both teachings. So both these statements, report of Rabbi Yehuda, one in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua, the other in the name of Ben Beseira, they're all from the same individual. And his name is Rabbi Yehoshua Ben Beseira. Problem was that we only heard about Rabbi Yehoshua the first time, and we only heard about Ben Beseira in the second time. But this is a way to reconcile, because Rabbi Yehuda taught in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua that the one who goes in front of the ark to lead the Muslim service, which means Yetzeres, he begins saying Mashiach Baruch. And then in the name of a man named Ben Beseira, the same exact teaching, the one who goes before the ark on Musaf, on Shmini Atzeres, the latter one, meaning during Musaf, he says the Mashiach Baruch. So we said, well, which is it? It can't be Rabbi Yehuda Ben Beseira, because he says you start doing this on day 2. Says Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, calm down. The fact is that both teachings, that Rabbi Yehuda is teaching, one in the name of Rabbi Yeshua, one in the name of a Ben Beseira, he's teaching it all in the name of the same individual, Rabbi Yehoshua Ben Beseira. Just that we only heard about Rabbi Yehoshua in one teaching and Ben Beseira in the other teaching. We're now going to combine. Now we know it's Rabbi Yehoshua, the son of Beseira. We didn't know that until Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak opened their eyes. Zimnin dekar elei b'shmei. Sometimes Rabbi Yehuda called him by his own name, Rabbi Yehoshua. Zimnin dekar elei b'shmei de'aba. And sometimes Rabbi Yehuda called him by his father's name, Ben Beseira, the son of Beseira. V'hamakame delismechuhu. And this name, known as Ben Beseira, that was used for him before he got smicha, before he was ordained as a rabbi. And the other title, Rabbi Yehoshua, that was only used, after he was ordained. Says the footnote, before Rabbi Yehoshua Ben Beseira was ordained, he was not yet a prestigious person. And therefore he was referred to by his father's name. That's Rashi. And we're told he is not identical with Rabbi Yehoshua of the Mishnah and the Brisa. That Rabbi Yeshua is Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, the Tana, who is usually referred to simply as Rabbi Yehoshua. And here I thought that it's one and the same person. So I'm grateful for the footnote who tells me that Rabbi Yeshua ben Becerra is not the Rabbi Yehoshua of our Mishnah. But at least we get shot as to who the Rabbi Yehoshua is that Rabbi Yehuda is quoting. And he is Rabbi Yehoshua ben Becerra, and he teaches that the one who goes before the Aron Kodesh on Musaf, for the Musaf service, on Shmini Atzeres, he's the one who begins to say, Mashiv HaRuach. Good to know. And that ends that little piece. That ends that mini sugya. I hope you're happy. We still have some time. We continue. Okay? We're 9 lines up from the very bottom on page 3a. Tana, a Tana taught in a braisa like this. Bital uberuchos lochivu chachamim lahaskir. Truth is, the sages, our Talmudic sages, did not obligate somebody to mention praise for dew and rain and wind, for dew and wind, bital uberuchos. The prayer for dew and the prayer for winds, the sages did not obligate somebody to mention them. But if one wishes to mention them, one may indeed mention them. What does that even begin to mean? That the sages did not obligate anybody to say this prayer, a prayer regarding tau and a prayer regarding wind. That if you want to, you can. If you don't want to, you don't have to. What does that mean? I'm serious. What does that even mean? So let's see a footnote. Maybe it'll help us out. Says the footnote here in Artscroll, one is not obligated to recite in the Shemoneh Esrei the declaration, Mashiv HaRuach U'Moreh Negesheh. He makes the wind blow. He makes the dew fall. Oh, let me rephrase that. One is not obligated to recite, Mashiv HaRuach U'Moreh Hatal. He makes the wind blow and he makes the dew fall. Even during the rainy season, you're not obligated to say that recitation, that statement of fact, that God makes the wind blow, he makes the dew fall. You're not obligated to say that even during the rainy season. The footnote continues. Our custom of mentioning winds in conjunction with rain, where we say, Mashiv HaRuach U'Moreh Negesheh, he makes the wind blow, he makes the rain fall, that custom of mentioning wind in conjunction with rain is not done out of an obligation to mention wind per se. Rather, we mention wind in its role as enhancing the effects of the rain. A wind that blows after a rainfall serves to dry out the land. And as we're going to see on 3b, that wind is almost as much of a benefit as the rain itself. So says Rashi. Okay? The Ritva explains the Talmud as follows. One is not obligated to mention dew even in the summer, when we are accustomed to mention dew. You're not obligated, according to the Talmud, in the Ritva's understanding, you're not obligated to mention dew, D-E-W, in the summertime, even though we depend upon the dew in the summertime. And one is not obligated to mention wind even in the winter, when we are accustomed to mention winds in conjunction with rain, when we generally say Mashiv HaRuach U'Moreh Negesheh. So you're not obligated to do it, but one who wishes to mention winds or dew at any time of the year may indeed do so. You see, for instance, the Ritva points us to the custom of the Sfardim who recite Mashiv HaRuach U'Moreh. He makes the dew fall in the summer months. So you're not obligated to say that, okay? One is not obligated to mention dew even in the summer, but the Sfardim do that. They do mention dew. The Sfardim do mention dew. You like that? They do mention dew. Here we go. Let's continue. My Tama, why is the mention of wind and dew not obligatory? Amar Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina said, "Lefisha ein ne'etzarin." Because they're never withheld, because the world cannot survive without them. You need wind and you need dew for it. The dew is never withheld. And here we go with this interesting piece of Agadata. Now it's going to quote scripture. Who remembers Elio another? Here we go. The Talmud Olam Delo Mi'atar asks the Talmud in an attack question mode. From how do you know that Jew is never withheld? I'm going to show you that Jew is indeed withheld. How are you going to answer that? You said the reason why it's not obligatory to mention Jew is because it's never withheld. I'm going to show you in the Pasuk in 1 Kings that it is withheld. Then what are you going to say? The Talmud Olam Delo Mi'atar. How do you know, from where do you know, that Jew is never withheld? Dichsiv. And the answer is, here's how we know. It's a verse in 1 Kings, chapter 17. Vayomer Eliyahu Tishbi, Mitoshavei Gilad El Achav. Elijah, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilad, he said to Achav, King Achav at the time, Chai Hashem Elokei Yisrael, by the life of God, the God of Israel, Asher Amadati Lefanav, before whom I stand, Im Yehiyeh Hashanim Ha'ela, Talu Matar, Kiyam Lefi Devari, as there shall not be dew or rain these years, except according to my word, I am going to decide if the rain falls, if the dew falls, says Eliyahu Anavi. I am going to decide that. Not God, it'll be up to me. Dichsiv, and it's also written in a later pasuk, after 3 years pass, that God said to Eliyahu Anavi in chapter 18, verse 1, Lech, go, Heira'e el Achav, appear before Achav, Ve'etne matar al pnei ha'adama. Tell him I'm going to send rain upon the earth. Remember, 3 years passed, and there wasn't any rain. And people were, I guess, at the beginning to starve. There was a drought here and a drought there. If you remember, after our study, it's about Tuesday, people were furious. The king was furious with them because, after all, Elijah was in charge of the rain, and Elijah wasn't sending any rain because the people were serving idolatry. So King Achav, who was, you know, serving idolatry, was unable to feed his people. And he was really upset at who? At Elijah, because Elijah was in charge of the rain. So after 3 years, Eliyahu says, I can't go in front of him. He's going to kill me. He's going to be upset that I withheld rain for 3 years. He has no love for me at all. He's going to rip me limb from limb. I don't want to go see him. God says, don't worry about it. Calm yourself down. He said, I'm going to be with you. It's going to be fine. He's not going to hurt you. Okay, but you have to appear before him. Go and appear before Achav, and I will send rain upon the earth. That's what Hashem said to Eliyahu Hanavi, to appear in front of the king and tell him that God is going to send rain upon the earth. But you see that Hashem did not mention dew to him. My Tama, what's the reason that Hashem omitted dew from the declaration? Hashem said, I'm going to send rain. Why didn't he also say, I'm also going to send dew? Why did he leave that out? After all, Elijah didn't leave it out. Elijah said, there's going to be not going to be any dew or rain. And when God says, I'm going to send rain, that's all he says. Hey, God, you forgot about talking about dew. Where's the dew? Where's the towel? My time, what's the reason for the omission? Why didn't God mention dew? Mishum, because, here we go over to 3b, Mishum delo mi'atzar, because dew is never withheld. Even during the years of drought, dew continued to fall. Even during the drought, dew was falling. So you see, that's the biblical support for the idea of Rabbi Chanina l'fishein ne'etzarim, because dew is never withheld, okay, because the world can't survive without it. So when the sages declared you're not obligated to mention praise for dew and wind, if you want to, you can, but the reason why you don't have to mention praise for dew is because it's always with us. Hashem sends it every single day. Now, you and I would think, okay, that's a good reason to praise God. He's sending it to us throughout the whole year. But that's not the attack the Talmud is taking. Instead, it takes the position, of a Chinitic position. Why not mention, why is it not obligatory? That's it. Why is the mention of wind and dew not obligatory? Because it's never withheld. You can't have a world without dew, and you cannot have a world without rain. You want proof for it? Here's proof for it. God himself said, I'm going to send the rain. Why didn't God mention I'm going to begin sending dew? Because he was already sending due all 3 years. He didn't have to mention something he's already doing. He was already sending down the tile of due. But he was not sending heavy rain. And therefore God said, I'm going to begin sending heavy rain. He left out mentioning due because he had always been providing that for the past 3 years, every single day. So there was no mention, no reason for God to mention, I'm going to begin now sending due. He had already been doing it for 3 years. So there's your proof to lo netzara, that the due is not held, well, that withheld. Even in the years of drought, due is continuing to fall. Okay, so that's an answer to the question. But here's an attack question. But if due is never withheld, then why did Elio swear to Achab that due would be withheld? Why did Elio say the words, and I quote, by the life of God of Israel, by the life of the God of Israel before my stand, there shall not be due or rain these years, except according to me. So you see, Elijah explicitly said, I'm not sending any dew. I'm not sending any, I'm going to send the rain. I'm not sending the dew, I'm not sending anything. He mentions dew as an explicit thing that he is in charge of and that he is not going to send. But now he's telling me that God sends the dew for 3 years during the drought. If that's true, how do you understand what Elijah said? Elijah said, I'm not going to send any dew. God says, I think I will. And he sends the dew for 3 years. But Elijah, was he making a mistake? Was he lying? Was he swearing falsely? If dew is never withheld, how come Elijah swore to Achab that dew would be withheld? That is a great question. Let me read the footnote. In the verse cited above, Elijah said to Achab, by the life of Hashem, there shall be no dew or rain. That indicates an oath. The Gemara's expression, Ishtabu Elamalek, where we translate, why did he swear? Why was it necessary? It really means, why was it necessary for Elijah to swear? But that formulation is difficult. For not only was the oath unnecessary, it seemed to be false. The Talmud should rather have asked, how could he have sworn falsely? That is indeed what it looks like to me, that he's swearing falsely. That's a very serious offense. I swear there'll be no dew. Meanwhile, it falls every single day for the next 3 years. Isn't that a false oath? Some commentators explained that the oath of Elijah was not a false one, because one could say that he meant that rain and dew would not fall together, which is in fact what happened. They did not fall together. However, the reference to dew is seemingly unnecessary, and therefore the Gemara questions its inclusion. Why did Elijah feel the need to even mention tau, dew? Here's an answer. Hachi kamale. This is how you're supposed to understand it. This is what Elijah said. Hachi kamale. This is what he said to him. Meaning, this is what Elijah said to Achav. Afilu tal devracha nami lo asir. Even the dew of blessing will also not fall. Even the dew of blessing will also not fall. Which is to say, the dew that will fall during the drought will not be a blessing dew. It won't cause any plant growth. It's going to basically be ineffectual. Okay? That's what he meant. When he said, I'm going to stop the dew from coming down, you really cannot do that. You really cannot stop the dew from falling. God's going to send the dew no matter what you say. But Elijah meant it's not going to be a blessing dew. It's not going to generate any growth in vegetation. It's going to be basically ineffective. So I'm still in charge. So you see, I'm in charge of the tau. Elijah is able to say, I'm in charge of the dew. Is God going to send the tau? Yeah, he always does that. What kind of a tau is it going to be? It won't be anything. It won't do anything. The dew won't do anything. Right? You told dew to do, right? Drink Mountain Dew. Over here, the dew does nothing. The dew won't do what it's got to do. I'm finishing up. So then let God restore the dew of blessing. So then the Talmud asks another attack question. So why didn't God institute the tau of blessing? The people, I mean, why didn't God send a blessing effective dew? In other words, why did God, over here, the in note fleshes it out. Why did God not tell Elijah to inform Ahab of the restoration of the dew of blessing at the end of the drought? That's true. Remember, God told Elijah, go to that guy Ahab and tell him I'm giving back the rain. Why didn't God also say, oh, and also inform him, I'm giving you back dew. Dew that actually does something. Dew that actually leads to vegetation growth. Why didn't Hashem say that to tell Elijah to say that to Ahab? Why didn't he inform him? You've had 3 years of ineffective dew. I'm going to start sending effective dew. Why didn't God inform Ahab of this new fact so he could be relieved? Oh, thank God, now we're going to get decent tau and we're going to get our rain back. It's going to be great again. Why didn't Hashem tell Elijah to inform the king that from now on God's going to send blessed tau, blessed dew, not ineffective dew? Why didn't Hashem inform Ahab of that? That's a good question. Good attack question. Answer to the attack question. Hashem delo minkura milsa, because the restoration of dew of blessing is not discernible. It's not nikar. It's not noticeable. You don't know whether something is effective or not. The dew is falling on the vegetation, and that's all you know. But the dew is falling on the vegetation. It's not registering with people that this is ineffective dew. People could not discern it. The restoration of blessed dew is not a discernible matter. That's the answer that the Talmud gives. Now it's going to flesh it out. Therefore, Elijah had to inform Ahab. I'm sorry. And therefore, if Elijah had indeed informed Ahab of the restoration of the blessed dew, then the wicked Ahab would have taunted Elijah, and he would have said, it's never been denied to me in the first place. It's never been withheld ever. You see, it's falling right now. Don't you feel it? You can see it right now on the crops, on the grass. That's what he would have said. So therefore, God did not tell Elijah to inform Ahab that he's going to get back blessed dew, because Ahab was of the opinion that he was getting dew, blessed dew, you know, for 3 years in a row. And things were not growing because he wasn't getting any rain. So therefore, God did not inform Elijah, and if Elijah did not inform Ahab that the dew, blessed dew, is going to be restored, because Ahab would have said, forget it, I've been getting dew for the past 3 years, okay? You said I'm not going to get any dew, but it's not true, you lied. I've been getting dew every day for the past 3 years. The answer is you were getting ineffectual dew. And you know, that's exactly what you were getting. And if I'm now going to say you're going to get blessed dew, you know, you would make fun of Elijah, and you'd say, a liar. I've been getting dew for the past 3 years. I've been making dew, if you will. I've been making dew. I've been getting by for the past 3 years. So that's why Hashem only informed Elijah to inform Ahab about rain being restored. Because God was already sending dew every single day, but it was an ineffective dew. It wasn't generating any growth, but Ahab noticed that it was a cow dew nonetheless. And if you would have told him, okay, now I'm going to restore the dew, he would have said, I've been getting dew for the past 3 years. I've been getting my dues. I've been receiving my dues. Right? Now, sure, you got to pay your dues. So this way, it wasn't even mentioned. There's no discussion of dew whatsoever. This way, Ahab could not make fun of Elijah for saying, oh, I'm going to restore dew to you. So I've had it for the past 3 years. It's ineffective. He didn't even notice that. He did not know that it's ineffective. He's been getting dew. Hashem says, I'm leaving that out. We'll just talk about rain.
Small.
Yeah, Barry. Good morning.
Do they spell that any differently, or when they talk about dew, are they using the same word as effectual dew, or do they spell it differently or change its vowels or something?
No change. It's always the same word. Tau. Tau teslamet, which equals dew, D-E-W. There's no change in the Hebrew spelling between effective or ineffective do, tau. It's only, you're only being told, tau devracha or delola vracha, for a blessing or not for a blessing. But the actual base word of tau remains the same. So there's really no way to know what, which kind of tau you're getting unless you're informed that this is a tau for bracha and that's a tau not for a bracha. Otherwise, the same word is being used for both forms of do, effective and ineffective. Any other questions? And if not, then we'll call it quits over here. Again, sorry that we started a little bit late. God willing, on Friday we'll start on time. And with God's help, we're going to continue with a little bit more Agadata and more scripture. And now we're leaving Elijah and Achav alone. And we're now going to move into some other materials. Looks like 3B is going to be super exciting and fun. So please join us on Friday. You don't want to miss it. Everybody have a great day. Barry and friends, Barry and company, thank you so much for calling in. See you again Friday morning at 10:30 sharp. Have a great day, everybody. See you Friday. All the best. Bye-bye.